Back on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Jeff Kavanaugh. This is the guest. This is the guy right here that I was so excited to get on the show. He is one of the hosts over at 105.3 The Fan, the home of the Dallas Cowboys, and he does the Trust the Tape podcast with Dane Brugler, one of our favorites on here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Those guys do amazing work, and he also, most recently, covering the NFL draft and the Dallas Cowboys for The Athletic, Dallas-Fort Worth. Jeff, how are you, my man? Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'm great. I'm super excited to be on the show and talk to Trevor. How are we, guys?
Trevor is currently in a state of semi-depression because the Lightning lost. And we're recording this during a time that the Lightning just lost. And he is going to have to... Going to have to catch up with us another time.
I'm excited to be on with you, John.
Right,
of course. It's great to be on with you, John.
Of course. So as the board has fallen so far, in case people are just tuning in, Sam Darnold went number one to the Browns, Saquon Barkley to the Giants, Josh Rosen to the Jets, Bradley Chubb to the Browns, Quentin Nelson to the Broncos, Tremaine Edmonds to the Colts, Derwin James to the Bucks, Harold Landry to the Bears, Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Niners, Denzel Ward to the Raiders, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen back-to-back, Dolphins and Bills, Darius Geis to the Redskins, Leighton Vander Esch to the Packers, Lamar Jackson to the Cardinals, Roquan Smith to the Ravens, Maurice Hurst to the Chargers, Mike McGlinchey to the Seahawks, and now the Cowboys are on the board. Who'd you want? You wanted Roquan, didn't you?
Well, once Roquan got to 16, we should have canceled whoever was picking, because I would have traded up. We would have traded up, we would have got Roquan Smith, it would have been great. I want to thank whoever picked Leighton Vander Esch 14, though, because I think the Cowboys might pick him if he makes 19, and I don't want him on my team. So I'm excited that he went to the Packers, but I was kind of interested in McGlinchey, too.
Yeah.
McGlinchey I might have taken.
Right. I thought you might have, honestly. When Danny Kelly was making the pick from over the Ringer, I thought, you know, if he wouldn't take McGlinchey here and he would go with a defensive lineman for Seattle or somebody like that, I thought maybe you would take him. You know, we're going to talk about the offensive line, so let's row back to the offensive line because there are some interesting thoughts there. I do want to ask you about Lyle Collins and the right tackle situation and McGlinchey and left guard and kind of all that fun stuff. But first, you know, Dallas is burning right now, Jeff, and it's an issue. The wide receiver group here is bad, and they just let go of Dez Bryant. And does it become the biggest need on the team right now with all that's going on here and in the holes that they have on this course currently?
I think it's a really big need. The interesting thing is that receiver right now, they already have too many on the roster, even though Dez Bryant's not one of them. Because right now you got, let's see, our starters are Allen Hurns, Terrence Williams, and Cole Beasley, which puts us probably in the top 28 in the league with our starting receiving core. And that's right where you want to be, is in the top 28. You get Ryan Switzer, you got Noah Brown, they signed Deontay Thompson for no reason. So they've already gotten enough or too many. They just don't have anybody good.
Right.
So, yeah, receiver is a pretty darn big need if they could get.
This is basically what the Steelers have at cornerback every year. The Steelers have a bunch of guys, nobody good at cornerback. So I know your plight here.
Well, as a guy who's been doing this tape thing for, what, about 5 years for the draft, they probably shouldn't have used a first-round pick on a third-round player at Artie Burns.
Amen. 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 Say it from the rooftops. Say it from the rooftops, my friend.
My team does it too. But yeah, receiver it's a big need. That's why they visited Calvin Ridley as one of their 30 visits. DJ Moore is one of their 30 visits. Cortland Sutton, they did a private workout with. Like, they're doing their due diligence to absolutely be able to take one at 19.
Who's your preference out of those guys?
I am still a Ridley guy. I do not mind that he can't broad jump or vertical jump, because the first time I throw him a jump ball, I need to be fired playing quarterback. He's going to play receiver on the ground, and he's going to do just fine.
Yep, yep. No, I agree with you completely, and it'll be interesting to see where they kind of address that spot. We don't know whether it'll be in the first round, obviously. It's not the only need for the Cowboys. Linebacker has been a hot topic. Anthony Hitchens signed away by the Chiefs. Jalen Smith, I thought he started to look better toward the end of last season. Curious to your thoughts on him. We know Sean Lee's great when he's healthy. Big disclaimer, because it hardly ever happens. But how big a need is linebacker? Like you said, you mentioned they may take Vander Esch. Rashawn Evans is still on the board. You know, the other three consensus top linebackers are off the board. Rashawn Evans still here. Is linebacker a big enough need to address it, even with two probable starters on the roster?
Yes, because with Jalen Smith, the weird thing is, so last year they come into the year and you have Sean Lee. I'm just going to talk about the off-ball linebackers, so not Kyle Wilbur, Damian Wilson, whatever.
Sure.
But so you come into the year and you have Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens, who are supposed to be your starters. Jalen Smith is supposed to be able to slow roll into this thing, and Justin Durant they call off the couch because he's been here before and to give him depth. Durant is gone. Hitchens is gone. They signed Joe Thomas from Green Bay, who's a jobber. And so they have even less than they did a year ago. And a year ago, they found out what they had wasn't enough.
Right.
So Jalen Smith, when they finally got Lee and Hitchens healthy, Jalen Smith, the last two games of the year, was playing like 25 snaps a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought, you know, the more we put him out, the more he gets exposed. I'm trying to remember what game was it. Where, oh, it was the Rams game. The Rams game, they realized that Jalen Smith was covering Todd Gurley, so they think they threw to him 140 times in a row until the Cowboys changed it. So Jalen's an awesome story, and he's an incredible dude, and I want him to be an all-pro. I don't think you can bank on him as a starter.
Sure.
So whether you're going to make him a half-the-time player or whatever they're going to do, they're talking about maybe playing him some strong side linebacker, maybe rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But they don't have enough at linebacker. Linebacker is a huge need.
Right. So you've got two big needs there, obvious holes in the roster, but we would be remiss if we didn't mention the secondary. I feel like Dallas has to roll with their guys to an extent in the secondary. I mean, they've spent draft picks on Anthony Brown. They've spent draft picks on Chidobe Awuzie, Jordan Lewis, Byron Jones, Xavier Woods, Kayvon Frazier, Marquez White. At some point, these have to be, you know, and those picks vary in range. Obviously, some of those guys, third day guys, but Brown, even though being a third day guy, has played a good bit. You know, Awuzie looked good last year. Jordan Lewis looked, I thought he looked like the best corner they had last year. Byron Jones is moving to corner, is the word on the street anyway. And Xavier Woods had a good year last year too. So lots of young, promising pieces in the secondary. Where's the biggest need in this group though? And do you see a need at corner and at safety, or is it just at safety with Byron Jones moving?
They need a body at safety, mm-hmm. is what I would say. I think it's a massive need, but that's because the last 2 years we've been lucky enough to make 6th-round picks for the Cowboys, and they've both worked out pretty well. Anthony Brown 2 years ago, we had a 3rd-round guy that got him in the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Xavier Woods, one of my favorite moments in radio, we're out at the Star doing the draft after they had picked Cheeto and Jordan Lewis. And so we're talking to the secondary coach on the air, and I told him, after the interview, I said, all right, now Xavier Woods is still on the board. That's a 3rd-round player. You guys don't have a pick for a while. Go trade up for him. And then they traded up, and they picked Xavier Woods, and he came back in and smiled. And he was like, all right, you're welcome.
That's awesome.
And I think Xavier Woods is a free safety. He had to play nickel corner last year and actually played it pretty well, but I think he's a free safety. So I'd give him a shot at it. Jeff Heath is back there, whatever. Kayvon Frazier is a box safety. So I think they're a man short in the room, but I think you can get by starting-wise with what you have.
Okay. So it seems like biggest priorities, linebacker, definitely the receiving core. Where else? I know this team has talked about adding a run stuffer. They've liked the guys that they have, three technique-wise. You know, David Irving, what he can do versatility-wise. Malik Collins still developing. Didn't really take the step people hoped he would last year, it seemed like. What's the biggest need on the interior defensive line? Is it just getting a big body, a nose guy? You can find those sometimes day two, or do they need like a dynamic every down type of presence on the inside?
We need a fat boy. We need a we need a fat athlete. The fat athlete is one of the best things in sports. And like Malik Collins got screwed last year because they drafted him to be a 3 technique,
mm-hmm.
and they signed Stephen Paya, and Stephen Paya's knees wouldn't even let him practice, much less play.
Mm-hmm.
So he retires, and then. Was it Brian Price, and he's a jobber, and they don't have anybody to play the 1 technique, so Malik had to slide over there, which let David Irving come be a superstar of the 3 tech, but it's not really what he's made for. He's
right.
just a quick get-off guy. He's a 3 technique, so they need a fat boy. I've got one first-round graded fat boy that was a visitor to the Cowboys. One of the 30 visits was Vita Vea. So, yeah, we're
on
the market for a fatty.
Okay. All right. So where do you feel like the value lines up for? You mentioned a couple needs, obviously. So let's say, you know, and there is in this scenario, you know, multiple guys that could fill multiple ones of those needs are on the board. Where do you feel like it's appropriate to go for a guy that you know, you call him a fat guy, like you're going for a nose tackle, you're going for a run stuffer, he can come off the field on passing downs. You know, is it that crucial that you want to address it in round one, or would it have to be a situation where everybody else at the other positions you mentioned is pretty much off the board in terms of players you like?
Yeah, I think it has to line up perfectly where there's a guy that you think is special as the one technique that's available, and you're sort of wiped out on your board. And Vita Vea, is he that guy?
Right.
I think he might be. I mean, dude that at that size that moves like that with, I don't want to say he doesn't know what he's doing. He kind of knows what he's doing, but right he's now he's there. Really just, what he did was just how big, strong, and athletic he is. So I think he can be special, and I would consider him at 19. But I do think you can find those tackles later. The guy probably won in any round.
Right.
And that hasn't worked out real well so far.
Right. Okay, so let's touch on the offensive line then. So situation where you got your center, you've got your right guard, you've got your left tackle. No questions there. Lyle Collins played right tackle last year. Had his ups and downs for sure, but I thought showed really good promise there. I personally would want to keep him there. Your thoughts on where Lyle Collins should play, and based on those thoughts, whether it's left guard or right tackle, is there anybody on the board you would consider that could play whichever spot you don't want Collins at?
Yeah, so I think now Lyle Collins wants to play right tackle. Mm-hmm. He has talked about it in the last couple weeks. I think it was Instagram today where it was hashtag right side. Lyle Collins wants to be a right tackle. When I look at what the Cowboys are doing visit-wise, I think they're open, depending on how the board falls. If they have the right guy fall in their lap that they thought was a right tackle, in this case, I think McGlinchey would be that guy. They visited McGlinchey. Seattle was a bunch of, I don't know what we can say on podcasts, they were a bunch of meanie heads, and they took him at 18. And so now I don't think the perfect tackle is there. He's my number one tackle. I don't have another first-round tackle. So I would be leaving Lyle Collins alone and figuring out how we're going to play left guard. Right. But, yeah, there's definitely a need on the offensive line. And not for a guy. There's a need for a starter. They signed Cam Fleming. But what do you really want him to do? You gave him like $1 million guaranteed. That's backup money.
Right.
You want him to be a swing tackle. So if Tyron's back locks up, you don't give up six sacks to a bum in one game. We need him to be a swing tackle. So we need us a lineman.
Right. Yeah. So there's definite needs for Dallas. No question about it. Clear-cut needs, where they address them, how they prioritize them is the key. So here we go. We're up here at the 19th pick, Dallas Cowboys 2018 NFL Draft. Who you taking for him, Jeff Kavanaugh?
All right, first I'm going to call Calvin Ridley on the phone, and I'm going to be like, Calvin, man, I like you. Sorry everybody's hating on you for being old. I want to pick you, but I'm going to get Anthony Miller or Michael Gallup at 50, so I hope you have a great day, and then I'm going to hang up. And then I'm going to call Vita Vea, and I'm going to be like, Vita, dude, I love fat asses. Like what you're doing. I'm picking up what you're putting down. You're a badass. Hope you have a great career. I'll call you back. And I'm going to hang up on him. Then I'm going to go outside of the Cowboys' top 30 visits, because I don't know why they didn't visit this guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make an executive decision to save the franchise. Because you know what? If we don't block awesome, Dak ain't going to be awesome. If Zeke doesn't get back to 5 yards carry, we ain't winning 12 games. And I'm calling Isaiah MF and Win at Georgia, and he's playing left guard for me, and we're picking him at 19.
Amen, brother. Amen. First of all, a great way to handle things, because you never know when something goes wrong with one of those guys, Ridley or Vea, at the place that they're at, and you could acquire them, and you've kept that rapport and that good relationship there, and you've kept the doorway open. I like that. That's thinking ahead.
John, do you really – time out. Do you really think that would go over well if you called them while you were on the spot and told them you weren't picking them?
That would be possibly the worst thing you could do as a general manager.
Yeah, well, screw Seattle. They should have taken Win. He's better than McGlinchey.
He is better than I like both of them a lot, but I agree that he's better than McGlinchey. And, you know, I think that, man, if Wynn plugs into that offensive line, all of a sudden that group looks like it did 2 years ago, and it looks like Ezekiel Elliott could be back to – but you're right. If the running game doesn't get going in Dallas, and the protection for sure, but if they can't rely on the run game, you know, to me, Dak's a good quarterback, but this team, they drafted Elliott, they drafted a running back in the top five, and they drafted all these offensive linemen as high as they did because they were trying to build something dominant in terms of what they could do on the ground. And when they got away from that last season, it seemed like there were more issues. So yes, the receiving core, I think you're right. They all need help. But to me, this win pick makes Ezekiel Elliott a better player, and it makes your investment that you already put into both, you know, Tyron and Frederick and Martin and Ezekiel Elliott, and to a degree Dak Prescott, the investment you put into all those guys, this is kind of like a compliment to what you already spent on those spots, don't you think?
Yeah, now all we need you to do out there is everybody, I know that the Cowboys are America's favorite team. I know that everybody loves them and pulls for them real hard. We need you to just pray for Tyron Smith's back. That's all we need you to do.
Yes.
Because the best left tackle in the league when healthy. I'm scared. Yeah. I get scared sometimes.
No, I don't. So I hear you.
Pray for Tyron.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Great. And I'm praying for Rashawn Evans to fall to you guys, okay?
Oh, thank you. That means a lot, man. I appreciate that. So far, yeah. So good. So far, so good in this mark.
Yeah. He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a Steeler. He's supposed to be.
He is. The Lord has spoken upon that situation and said it should be such. So he is Jeff Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. Follow him on Twitter at JC1053. Make sure you give him a follow. All kinds of awesome stuff. And he is as entertaining on Twitter as he is on this podcast. And that is saying a lot. Jeff, thanks so much for taking the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. When you say JC1053, it sounds like a really stupid Twitter handle. But the station is 105.3. So when you say a JC1053, it makes more sense. I love you.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that. You can tell it's been a long draft process because I already said 105.3 the Fan earlier was where you worked.
Yeah.
And I just straight up read what your Twitter handle was.
We were out there tonight watching our, I don't know, 235th to 240th players. And about an hour into it, my buddy KT, Kevin Turner at KT Fun Tweets, he was like, hey, let's just put the board together. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So right. We spent the last couple hours putting him and Broadus's little team board together. We're done with this. It's over.
Yeah. Wrap it up. You got to put a bow on it at some point. I'm doing that hopefully over the next couple of days, putting a bow on everything and wrapping up my final grade. So fun part of the process for sure. Jeff, thanks so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
No problem, man.
There he is, Jeff Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen, making the pick for the Dallas Cowboys. We got Jeff Risden coming on, laying one down for the Lions, a crucial pick for that organization. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting with you guys. No Trevor today, but don't worry, the Detroit Lions are on the clock, and you already know who we were going to the well for. Jeff Risden, our good friend who covers the NFL Draft for @RealGM, managing editor as well for the Browns Wire and the Texans Wire, and talks about the Lions on ESPN 96.1. Jeff, you cover, in essence, three different teams and the NFL Draft, which encompasses all teams. How do you focus your scope when it comes time to talk just about the Lions?
You know, it sounds cliche, but I wear a lot of hats. I actually physically do change hats when I'm going through this, so I have the right mindset on. It sounds corny, but it works for me.
That's amazing. Unbelievable. We got a lot to talk about with the Lions today and a short time to do it, and so let's jump to it. The Detroit Lions actually, in my opinion, have a pretty talented roster that has been built up well at some key spots, but there's still some things missing to complete this team, especially in a division like the NFC North with the Bears getting better and the Packers getting Rodgers back and the Vikings, arguably the best team in the NFL right now. Where do you see the biggest needs existing on this Lions roster?
Well, it's interesting. The technically only open starting spot on the entire roster is left guard because Travis Swanson is gone. They're going to move Graham Glasgow to center, and he was a starting left guard last year. So that's the only like really open position that they need, and they certainly need a left guard. The biggest need on the team, however, is pass rush. You got Ziggy Ansah, who's playing on a franchise tag. The other starter opposite him right now appears to be Anthony Zettel. That's not good. You need something better both in the short and long term there. So pass rush sizzle, defensive tackle would an attacking up the field three technique would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's a big need as well. They have guys who can fill it now, but you want to get better there.
Right. How about the linebacker position? Do they feel like they figured this thing out? They brought in Kennard. They brought in Christian Jones. You're hoping Jared Davis makes the next step. Jalen Reeves may have been flashed. It's been an issue for a long time in Detroit. We know that Leighton Vander Esch's name has kind of floated around them. Rashawn Evans is still on the board here. Vander Esch is gone at this point in our mock draft simulation. So what do you think about the linebacker position and the Lions need to address that in the draft?
You know, I think they're pretty comfortable with it. With Matt Patricia coming in, there's going to be more situations where there are three and possibly even four linebackers on the field at the same time. But the guys that you mentioned are a pretty solid foursome. And keep in mind, they also have Miles Killebrew, who is sort of the hybrid safety linebacker, and they do still like him. He's primarily played as the heavy nickel. But he does have some potential there. I think they feel better about it than I think the national media thinks they do. Sure. Would be the way that I would address their linebackers.
Right. And with Patricia coming in, you know, you'd expect some things that they did in New England, which a lot of rotation, you know, linebackers fill in certain roles and then coming off the field, and you have a mixture of different talents there. And you mentioned Killebrew, who could play like that Patrick Chung type of role. They have Glover Quinn. You know, they have some talent at safety in the secondary. You know, Darius Slay, Nevin Lawson's back. I know you've kind of think you mentioned to me before that you think he's kind of an underrated guy. Jalen Tabor enters his second season. Quandre Diggs is there. I think he moved to safety late last season, right? I mean, is this a pretty solid secondary group? Do you feel like that needs much addressing early on in the draft?
It is a very solid secondary. They're definitely underappreciated. A lot depends on Tabor and how much of a step he can take in his second year. They have Jamal Agnew, who was a Pro Bowl punt returner last year as a rookie. He's also a corner. They sort of have some promise with him. Diggs was very good at the strong safety for being a 5'9", 185-pound guy. He is the best tackler on the team, regardless of position, he proved it last year. They feel good about it. Glover Quinn is 31, 32 years old. They do need to get somebody in who can eventually take over for him. He is invaluable for this team. He is the guy who calls the defense from you know the safety position. Completely underappreciated player around the league, and I even think even in Detroit, I don't think Lions fans really have a great appreciation for just how solid he is. Yeah. He's one of the most unsung players in the league. His time is going to be coming up. They do have to plan for the future on that. I don't think that's what they're going to do with their first round pick, but I do think they're going to bring somebody in that could possibly take over for him at some point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think he's one of the best safeties in the league. I would love to see him in Pittsburgh right now, but I don't think that's going to happen. Need that single high free safety type player. How about on the offensive side of the ball, Jeff? I mean, it seems like Trevor and I looked this up one time on the show, and I think, you know, I'm recalling now kind of what we found, but we looked up when the last time Detroit finished in the top half of the league in rushing yards per game at the end of the season. And it was all the way back for when Barry Sanders was here. And that was the last time they were even in the top 16 teams in the NFL in rushing yards per game at the end of the season. I mean, that is just, I know it's like against drafting a running back in the first round is something that us draft pundits were always talking about. Like, you know, target the high value positions, especially when you have them of need. It's a luxury to take a running back in the first round. But at number 20, you know, the first round caliber players are starting to come off the board. You know, if somebody falls, obviously jump on them. But do you think that this should be a priority for Detroit? If a running back you love, and I don't know who you're high on or who you really like, if a running back you love is on the board, would you love to see Detroit take a running back in the first round, or do you just think it's a bad way to spend your resources?
I think with this team, I think it's more dependent on the offensive line getting better. Some of the fact they've tried first round running backs in the past. Javid Best was damaged goods, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of second round picks that have been invested over the years. Mikel LeShore, Amir Abdullah. I'm getting depressed now already. I think day two is a sweet spot for them to take a running back. They did bring in LeGarrette Blount. Amir Abdullah is still around. Theo Riddick is one of the best receivers in the league. Yes. Coming out of the backfield. They love him in that role, in the third down role. Their offense was a lot better when he was in it. He's also the best red zone threat on the team, despite being his size. You know, they haven't had a 100-yard rusher since Reggie Bush was on the team in his prime. And some of that is the fact that they just don't hit a whole lot of home runs. I do think that a home run hitter like a Ronald Jones would be a fantastic addition. Yeah. Darius Geis, he's gone in this right. mock, but you know, he's a guy that, you know, can turn it up and make things happen. And Nick Chubb is another guy that I would be very interested in, but just not in the first round. I don't think the value is there. Not with with the hole that they have at left guard on the offensive line and the fact that they are still built to win with Matthew Stafford throwing the football. Right. Yes, it would be great if he got a little more help from his run game. But if the passing game declines, it doesn't matter what they're running. They could run for 150 a game and they're still not winning.
Right.
If they don't keep the passing game in tip-top shape.
So speaking of the passing game, last position we'll touch on before we get to your pick, the tight end spot. Moving on from Eric Ebron, Luke Wilson's here over in Seattle. I think he's a solid player. Levine Tuilulu, I hopefully I said his name right, a blocking tight end from Atlanta comes over. I know Michael Roberts is your guy. He's going to get a shot here too. But still, isn't this a tight end group in need of an upgrade, and could they potentially look to do that early in the draft?
You know, I would like for them to make an upgrade for it. I like the idea of having a primary receiving tight end who can catch you more than 30 balls that Wilson will get. I do think Roberts is poised to take a big step in his second season. He caught 4 passes last year. It wouldn't shock me if he winds up leading their tight end group in targets this year. They babied their rookies last year for better or for worse, and it seems like that from what I've gathered, the organization is high on Michael Roberts' upside. But again, this is a guy who's a 280-pound guy. He's not going to threaten the seam the way Eric Ebron did. Right. And those targets have to go somewhere. I happen to think they're going to spread it out more against their wide receivers. They still have Golden Tate, Marvin Jones. Kenny Golladay was pretty good as a rookie last year. He's a big guy. I think that he'll get a predominant of those targets. T.J. Jones actually played quite well. They brought him back somewhat surprisingly. So the 1-4 at wide receiver, I think, is where they're going to make up for the loss of Ebron. I personally would like to see them get a guy. I love Mike Gesicki, not just because he's a fellow volleyball player, but I love the idea of him as a wide receiver in a tight end's body.
Right.
And I think that's something that can work very well in the NFC North. Unfortunately, I don't think the Lions share that sentiment.
He does seem like he'd make a lot of sense in that offense, especially the way they got more aggressive down the field last season as the year progressed. But so I agree with you there. If he ends up there, I think it would be a good fit. Okay, so you've established that defensive tackle help, edge defender help, and that left guard spot. Those are the key areas of need. Him, let me ask you this before we get to your pick. Isaiah Wynn goes off the board one spot before you. Jeff Kavanaugh takes him to the Dallas Cowboys. Would that be a consideration for you, maybe not even for the team or for the team perhaps as well, if he were on the board at this point, given the fact that he seems like the next guy after Quentin Nelson and it would fill an immediate need?
Yeah, he certainly would be. I'm not sure that the Lions have him that high.
Right.
Based on the fact that he is going to be moving positions, but they are certainly looking at bolstering the left guard spot. Right now, if the season started, Joe Dahl would be the starter. He did not play well last year when given the shot. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly something that I would consider there. And curse you, Jeff, for taking my guy.
That's true. Yeah, he is one of the favorites, I think, of most of us draft pundits in this class. But he could slide down the board, like you said, moving positions and because of the size thing. So they might have a shot at him at 20, but in this scenario, they don't. They've got a couple still, I think, at least talented offensive linemen on the board. Plenty of defensive line talent with Maurice Hurst being the only interior guy off the board. And even on the edge, plenty of talent with Bradley Chubb and Harold Landry only being the only guys off the board. So, Jeff, as the general manager of the Detroit Lions picking number 20 in the 2018 NFL Draft, who is your pick?
I am going to take, and this sounds contrary to what I've just talked about in bolstering the pass rush, because this guy is not a proven pass rusher yet. I'm taking Daron Payne from Alabama, the defensive tackle. What? I think he has the upside to become a much better pass rusher at the pro level than he was at the college level. I think the role is a little bit different, and it reunites him playing next to A'shaun Robinson, who he essentially took over for. A'shaun has never developed as the pass rusher, unfortunately, but he's a very good run anchor interior presence. I think Payne, when he plays with a guy like that and gets unleashed a little bit, is asked to buckle his ears back and go more. I think he can, and I'm a big fan of his.
I felt like when I watched Payne, and you tell me whether you agree or disagree with this assessment, I had some definite issues with Payne's game overall, but I thought he was a different mold than the rest of the Alabama interior guys that we've seen, A'shaun Robinson, Dalvin Tomlinson, Jerron Reed, because Payne is actually more explosive and more of an upfield type, which is why I like the role that you've drafted him for here, because I think he will fill that type of role better than he is a nose that's going to take on double teams and things like that and play really technical, keep that pad level low. I saw more of a developmental type player with a good first step and some, you know, he flashes that swim move end of the year, seemed like the light bulb was coming on. You see him in that role more than you do in the typical Alabama interior defensive line role?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there. I think this is a guy who has a lot of developmental ability as a tackle. And it's weird to say that for a guy coming out of Alabama and all the defensive polish that they get. But I really do think that his NFL role is going to be different than his college role. And I think he's going to thrive in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good kind of context for Daron Payne when you're evaluating him, and something that I've gone back and forth on with his grade for me, because I do think there's more upside than the rest of the guys, but it's also less polish, and I worry about him as a run defender. But you're right, for what the Lions need, it seems like it definitely fits a role. So Daron Payne comes off the board to the Detroit Lions to play next to his old teammate A'shaun Robinson, and they get better on the interior. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals coming up next, but Jeff, first of all, thank you so much, man, for coming on the show. Really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure. Anytime you need me, and go Lions.
Thanks, man. Amen to that. The Bengals are up next on the clock. It's going to be very intriguing, because the Bengals pick and then the Bills pick for the second time. So it's about to get really interesting on the show to see what direction the Bills go after they took Josh Allen with their first pick. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.